welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. My name is Clayton. I am joined by a whole host of people. First, my friend Merge. How are you doing, Merge?
Hold on, man. I'm still editing the podcast from a month ago.
I was going to slander for you already. We're already off the
road. I jumped on it. I jumped. I knew you were, so I took the first hit myself.
Our buddy Raj, and of course you had to ruin it. My word, that was like 3 weeks ago.
They'll still 20, right?
Yeah. Just, I hate you, Merge, so much. Anyways, I'm going to introduce Alan, our buddy Alan. How are you doing, man?
You had Whiskey Alan last time. It was great.
I know. Alan was liquored up.
I do want to say shout out to Merge, though, because he gives me his HBO Max, and I appreciate that, so I'm sticking up for Merge today. So, thanks, Merge. Right.
No problem.
And you can hear glitchy Nas in the background, our buddy Nas, opinions on the NBA.
You had Whiskey Allen last time. Well, you have Mai Tai Nas, right?
Yeah. Mai Tai Nas is a bastard, and he's in Hawaii while we're all, Merge isn't even in Southern California with him anymore, you bastard. He's in freaking Colorado, and Allen is in Manchester. So whatever.
It's -6 degrees here.
That's fantastic. I would rather have that than the 65 in my garage still. So
-6 degrees is in Celsius. I don't know what it's in Fahrenheit. You guys should learn proper degrees.
It's in Fahrenheit. That's what? Probably like 10 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that off the top of my head. I like the cold. I love the cold. I do snow angels in
-21.
So anyways. We're going to get to it. We have a lot to talk about. We talked a lot in the last pod, too, that Merge never loaded. I'm going to leave that there. So, anyways, the Lakers just lost last night to the Indiana Pacers. And I'm going to start off by saying that they were playing good in the first half. And then I started laughing that I'm going to go to bed. Alan, I think, did the same thing. We said that we're going to bed, and we're not going to be surprised if we wake up and they have lost. And when I woke up, that was the first thing I did is look, and they had lost. So,
oh man, and it was spectacular.
I'm not shocked. I haven't even bothered to watch the second half just yet.
Oh, I have.
I had some other things that I had to do. When you're a homeowner, you know, just loads of things. But anyways, I am not shocked. This is also when everyone was saying the off the best win of the year of the Utah Jazz.
Not everyone.
That was dumb. Why people really said that? Including our buddy Raj. I'm throwing shots at Raj for when he listens to this.
Well,
Keep
Vogel.
Man. All right. Whatever. I'm already annoyed. Let's go ahead and get into it. Frank Vogel has not been fired. I have backed Frank months now. I told Alan back in November, I think, that it wasn't going to fix anything. I still don't know, honestly, if it's going to fix anything. It just kind of, for me, depends on who it is. If it's Fizdale, I don't think anything's changing.
It's not Fizdale.
Alan says that it's going to be Phil Handy. I am totally on board with that. Phil Handy, I think, is a great basketball mind, not just a player development guy. But until it happens, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Frank Vogel's going to get fired. So who knows? But Alan, you've been the one just jumping on that pedal to get him out of here as soon as possible, the most out of all of us. You want to go over why exactly you think so?
It's not just me, by the way.
Of course.
I want to give a shout out to Nas. Nas has been on that train too. I know Nas is chilling right now with his Mai Tai and he doesn't have a care in the world right now.
Nope.
But I want to give a shout out to Nas as well. He was on that train pretty early. My guy BJ, our guy BJ, we were basically on the train. He was on there before me. So I just thought I'd give a special shout out to some special people there. Frank Vogel, he is, Nas beautifully put it in our pre-amble. where he said he's the Mike D'Antoni of defense. And you know what? It makes a lot of sense. When he has the perfect roster, he succeeds, right? And Mike D'Antoni probably would have won a championship as well if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt. Like, let's call a spade a spade. He probably wins a championship that probably. Year. You know, if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt, they probably beat the Warriors, and then they probably win against the Cavs. So, yeah, they're the same. It's just a, you know, just juxtaposition of offense and defense. How he plays Avery Bradley 30 minutes is just beyond me. Even though I'm not saying that Avery Bradley should not be on an NBA roster, Clay.
Oh, I'm totally fine saying that he shouldn't be on an NBA roster. I know. Can I go into Avery real quick?
Well, like, let's not. All I'm saying is, it's not Avery's fault that he gets overexposed by a coach who seems to have like a weird fetish over him at best, or at worst, Avery Bradley has nudes of his. Like,
let me get into that. I agree. He shouldn't play him as honestly. He shouldn't play him at all. But I know why he does it. He wants that on ball pressure, but. I'm sorry. Avery Bradley hasn't really been good at that for years. He's just not. He's an annoyance, but he isn't really deterring anyone, really. But we can look back as far as last year when he played, 17 games with the Miami Heat, where he was playing over 20 minutes a game with them. Eric Spoelstra is thought of as a top two coach.
I mean, he might be the best right now.
I mean, he might be the best right now. Yeah. He's probably the best. He was playing.
He has Caleb Martin looking like he's a freaking all-star.
I know. On a handful of games. He was playing Avery Bradley, and Avery Bradley wasn't playing that well for him. Then they dealt him for Oladipo. He went to Houston. He played about the same there as well. I don't remember if it was JB Bickerstaff there already.
It was Silas.
Okay.
It was Silas.
Yeah, okay. Where is Bickerstaff?
Cleveland, baby.
Yeah, you're right. It was Silas.
Because the Cavs are good.
They are.
Cavs are really good.
Another coach who knows how to maximize his talent.
Mm-hmm.
So Silas played him. And I think that was probably just, you know.
Bodies thing.
Yeah, bodies thing.
It was with Spoelstra as well, because I don't know if you remember last year at the start of the season for Miami, they had no one.
Yeah, they're decimated.
That's true. He also had dealt with injuries, and so he didn't start right away either. Mm-hmm. So he was just getting straight up run with guys. That's all to say that coaches have the weird fetish with him, because overall, just because they see, oh, he's active on defense, so that must mean he's playing good defense.
When he goes to the Pat Beverly school of defense, pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah. Worse, honestly. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Action does not necessarily mean that you are being effective. There's a quote that John Wooden said, something along those lines. And it's true when it comes to Avery Bradley. Just because you are effective or active does not mean you are effective. And he fits that to a T. And when you're not a good offensive player, on top of that, you shouldn't be playing. This is why when the Lakers claimed him and everyone's like, oh, they're just going to waive him before his guaranteed date. They just need him for the body. Or, oh, he'll just be a 13 to 15 man guy. He's not going to play. I was like, bullshit, watch. Just like I said at the beginning of the year, they're going to start another big with Anthony Davis. And what did they do? They started another big with Anthony Davis. So Vogel should be fired, period. But it goes into like, you're not setting up a coach to succeed or the team to succeed anyways. 3 years Frank Vogel has been here, three different rosters have been here. There's no continuity at all. So that kind of goes into the front office. We'll get into that, but I'm sorry. I just had to get that. That's something I've been thinking for like the past 2 to 3 days that I just had to get off my chest because Merge didn't fucking publish the last podcast, you bastard.
So to go back to my Frank Vogel point, me and Nas talked about this like in December time.
You did.
Like when we were like 10 and 12, or it was like right at the start of the year, wasn't it, Nas, where we were talking about it. And if the rotations were just correct, I think it was on my podcast, if the rotation was just correct, the Lakers would have been like 16 and 6 or whatever.
Yeah, 7 games just from his super rotations, period. This is like the Lakers would have been like let's just say he stopped starting DeAndre Jordan in after 26 games, right? He blew 7 games from like just terrible rotations. So the Lakers should have been like 19 and 6 at that time.
19 and 7, yeah.
Around that figure, right? Like give or take a few wins or losses, but you know they shouldn't have been essentially what they are right now, a 500 team. And look, I understand why. Well, I actually don't understand why Klay hates him so much. I mean, I do kind of, and I don't kind of. I do understand that, like, that Avery Bradley is not a starter. I've been on that train too. I don't think I refuse to say that Avery Bradley's a starter, but at the same time, he's an NBA player. But
he's a bit player, in my opinion.
Like, Vogel plays him way too much because yesterday I thought was like gonna be the game where like he Vogel's gonna be putting his best foot forward, right? And his best foot forward happens to be playing Avery Bradley so many minutes. It's ridiculous, like, you know, because they ended up losing one of the worst losses they've had all year, which is crazy considering that they've had a lot of bad losses this year. So yeah, like,
haven't we lost to OKC twice?
Yes, OKC University, as DJ calls it. You know, those guys basically college right now, and they're tanking. So like, we lost to them twice, and they out schemed twice. So like, these are things that like, look, Bradley should be playing, and that's like part of like that much, and that goes to Vogel because he has this weird fetish about him. You know what I mean? There's nothing about there's no if, ands, or buts about it. He shouldn't be playing like how DeAndre Jordan shouldn't have been playing for like it shouldn't have taken Vogel 26 games to figure it out. Hey, you know what? This guy's not an NBA player at all. You know what? Maybe I should go small. And it took COVID for him to like figure that out too, like an interim head coach and COVID for him to figure that out. And, like, I don't know. I don't know what the hell like Vogel's thinking. But but I digress. Let's continue.
It's also no coincidence that the Lakers went on their best run when Avery Bradley was in the protocols.
Yeah. I think part of also the problem is he's played, you know, he has, you know, every coach has their idea of what works, right? They have their schemes, they have whatever. And Frank loves ball pressure that funnels to the big, right? Kind of like how Utah, same way. They want to, you know, guide guys essentially to Gobert. And that's kind of what Frank wants. He just wants that pesky defender to bring someone to a big. So he wants to play big. Now that they're playing small, he doesn't understand you don't have to go micro small, right? You don't have to play Russell Westbrook 6'3", Avery Bradley 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, 6'1".
He might be listed at 6'3", but he's not. And then
I think he's listed at 6'1".
He's 6'1".
Yeah. Okay. Malik Monk as well, who's 6'2", 6'3". Those are three small guys. Like Russ
under,
is a strong dude and all that. But, like, Malik is too small to be a good defender, unfortunately. He just doesn't have the weight, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, he also doesn't really have the instincts for it. But
he has the intensity, which I appreciate. But
I mean, he gets
and he's
effort.
Smart as well. He's in good positions a lot.
Yeah, he just I think it's lost from time to time. But
I think Malik. Yeah, to be fair though, with Malik, he has gotten better defensively.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that has gotten better defensively.
He's honestly him, Stan, and Austin Reeves are the three bright spots of this season.
And recently, Talen. And that's Talen's been good recently.
Those,
do you mean Taylor no value Horton Tucker? The guy who's not even a first round pick?
Why anyone listens to Nate Duncan about the Lakers
and Hollinger
is beyond me. Nate Duncan said that Brandon Ingram was less valuable than Thon Maker out of the NBA.
And Juancho.
And like Juancho, whatever.
Juancho Hernan Gomez. Yeah.
How are people still listening to him?
Also, John Hollinger, the other guy who said that, was the one who said that Kyle Kuzma's contract was the worst in the NBA.
After he
and that he was overvalued.
$4 million.
No, but and the late, he's overvalued because he plays in LA, right? He signed a 3-year, $39 million deal for context, right? It's not solid, overpaid at all.
Solid deal.
Yeah, I don't like Kuzma, but I think it's an under market value for a player like that.
Yeah, for sure.
And now he's talking about whether the Wizards should build around Kyle Kuzma instead of Bradley Beal. Yeah.
Move the goal.
Even though he's the same player.
Asshole.
Even though he is same splits, just shooting the ball more.
I can't. I'm sorry about my blow up. Nate Duncan is a dipshit. Full stop. But, like I don't care who he's paid by. That dude doesn't know shit.
So can we go back to the whole media thing, because it was incited by Nate Duncan, and obviously Clay went on his little rant.
I'm very ranty today.
I'm really sick of the media acting like Frank Vogel's done nothing wrong. And that he's coached his ass off, and that he is absolutely the least of the problems. There are multiple problems in LA. And I've said this, you guys have known this, I've said this from the start. There are problems in LA. Frank Vogel, in my opinion, is number one, purely because we have lost games that would be like, let's say we lost that game last night and we were like 30 and 20, whatever now. It would be fine. We'd be like, yeah, what a shit loss, but at least we're fourth. And that's down to the coaching. You lose to the Thunder twice. How many times have we lost to the Kings?
We lost to the Kings in double OT without De'Aaron Fox. Yeah.
Yeah. So at least two losses to the Kings as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have beat, like, we talk about the Grizzlies owning our ass. We should have beat the Grizzlies twice.
Own. They own LA.
Ja Morant has. Yeah.
I love the guy to death. He's phenomenal. Crypto Arena. But we should have beat him twice. The third time they beat our ass like properly. But it's just frustrating to me that they act like Mark Stein calling it the siege of Frank Vogel. I'm sorry. What the hell are you on? All these hit pieces from Boston media, Chris Mannix, you can go suck it, purely because of the fact that, you know, Anthony Davis, we won a title, you dick. So
who is more valuable? Brad Stevens.
That's all you gotta say.
Yeah, it was Giannis. that's all you gotta say. Chris Mannix should stick to boxing.
Brad Stevens.
So, like, yeah, no. So at this point, you have to make a move. And this is coming from someone who at this point. This team is not winning a championship. I said, I don't know how many times before the season, I don't care until Christmas. Well, we're a month past Christmas at this point. And it just, nothing has gotten better. Nothing. If anything, stuff has gotten worse.
I don't think there's a championship team in here, but I do think there's a much better team than advertised that's in there.
The way that the Lakers possibly somehow win a championship is is moves that I don't know if are possible.
It needs to be like the Cavs back in, what was it, 2016, 2015, when they dumped Blatt. Yeah. When they dumped Blatt, and then they traded for JR and Shumper and Mozgov. It has to be something like that.
They bought low on guys like Smith, Shumper, and Mozgov.
Yeah.
While the Lakers won't even sign Stanley Johnson to an end-of-year contract.
I love how Clay's like completely shifted over to being a Stanley Johnson stan.
Which is hysterical. It's hysterical. I don't hate him. He's never proven to be any good. He's never nowhere where he's been. And now he's good. This is what happens. Yeah, now you have him. And you're not using him.
You play him 16 minutes. You play Carmelo 28 on his first game back from a back injury.
So, no. Not 28. 30 minutes.
It was 28. It was 28.
Coming back from a back injury, Vogel plays Carmelo Anthony, who's in his 19th season, 30 minutes at the center position.
So on the lost tapes of the Under the Bus podcast. So on the lost tapes. I made a really good point how after 18 minutes, Carmelo Anthony loses value.
He does.
And it's true. Look at last night. For 18 minutes, he was really good. After the 18-minute mark, he just nosedives completely.
Under the Bus lost tapes. You know, we'll put out the archives.
Alan, where's the Shang-Chi podcast? Come on, man.
Ask Ricky. I don't know.
The last tape.
I've been waiting for the edit for 5 months.
All right. Let's obviously we're all frustrated with Vogel. Is there anything final that we should say?
Fire him.
I think at this point, like, even the defense isn't not working because of the rotations. Mm-hmm. And to say that is incredible because honestly, Frank Vogel, in my opinion, is the best defensive coach in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's had, like, last year when we were dealing with LeBron and AD being hurt, he still had him as a top five defense.
They were number two, so, I think, like, number one.
Yeah, so I mean, like he's incredibly good at this. And this year, it's just like someone.
Do you know what's infuriating?
Gave him a lobotomy.
He has the pieces for that defense to be really, really good. Still, he just chooses not to play him at the same time, and that's what pisses me off. Because, like, realistically. You could have guys like Monk, who's not the greatest defender, but he can be pesky. You have Reeves, who's a really fucking good defender. If they funnel him towards LeBron James and Dwight Howard, there's your recipe to success right there defensively.
He's focused on set rotations, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
Real quick, the thing that pissed me off about Melo at the five yesterday also is that he was playing with LeBron at the same time.
And so Stan was in there, too, sometimes.
And then Melo at five. You know what I mean? Like, LaMelo should be.
Melo was defending Sabonis on switches, not LeBron. Melo was.
Well, too, it's fucking insane. You know,
the main thing for me that pretty much paints how like he really does need to go. The game the Lakers beat the Jazz. The Lakers had a 5-man unit that played about 12 minutes. I want to say, LeBron. Stanley Johnson, Malik Monk, Talen Horton-Tucker, and Austin Reeves. They were a plus 18.
Young guys work with LeBron. I'm shocked. They
were a plus 18 in 15 minutes against Utah.
Yeah,
they played like 0 minutes last night together. Zero.
That is why I just – if you look back at that Utah game, other than that lineup, they beat –
they're going to ask it.
They beat the Lakers. If it wasn't for that lineup – that lineup was phenomenal.
And Vogel's probably fired.
Yeah. So, like, I'm so tired of everyone, like, we have to get vets. They have to. LeBron is playing well with, like, an undrafted rookie free agent with a quote-unquote failed lottery pick and Malik Monk.
Two failed. Oh, my God.
A THT who... according to, you know, Hollinger and Duncan and Twitter, that THT is completely useless.
Even guys like Kevin O'Connor and shit have gone off the deep end on, like, our good friend Pickup Hoop, shout out to Pickup Hoop, he sent a clip into one of our group chats where they were talking about, like, the Lakers, I cannot stress how they made Jeremy Grant seem like he was the second coming of Michael Jordan in trade talks. It was insane.
I can't with the Jeremy Grant talk. I'm sorry. We can get into it in a little bit, but
sidebar. Just have a little bit of positivity for this team, a little bit. THC's been really good over the last 6 games. THC has been really good. Last night, he showed some of those flashes that reasons why I thought he's a future All-Star. Why I think a lot of us thought he's a future All-Star. Step back three he had on, I think it was Sabonis, was nasty. It was fucking nasty.
And about THT's this, it's like his thumb started healing now because he hurt that thumb again, like, I think against the Spurs, and then, like, you know, he played really well for 4 games, right? Like, when he came back, everybody's like, oh, my God, THT, like, this guy, he's going to make this leap. Then he hurt his thumb. I want to say against the Spurs, it was the 4th game. And then, like, his fucking, his game, like, nosedive, right?
Yeah.
Like a
COVID.
Yeah, and then he got COVID, yeah.
Yeah, then he got COVID. He was stuck in his hotel room for, like, a week. Like, then he came back, like both the effects of COVID and his thumb, were, like, there, and he was trashed. Like, he didn't make a single three-pointer, in multiple games, right?
Was it 0 for 25 on a stretch at one point?
5. And then now, like, you're starting to see, like, what he really is. Look, like, I like THT pissed me off a lot this year. Don't get me wrong. But I never said that he was going to crash. And that dude, like, I felt like, you know what? He's not good right now, but he's going to be eventually good. And unfortunately, it's unlikely going to be with the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like, I've always said that. And now you're starting to see why. Honestly, to me, it's like if I'm more Jeremy Grant shit. I mean, I'm with Clay here. I don't think he necessarily moves the needle. Like, we get Jeremy Grant, like we're going to win a championship with Jeremy Grant.
Who's coming off his own thumb injury as well.
Same thing as THT, his same exact injury, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that Jeremy Grant moves the lead. Like, he might move the needle, but not enough for the Lakers to win a championship. Not gonna fix
I don't think he does with a Frank Vogel coach team.
Yeah. Well, let's get to trades in a little bit. There's one last guy I want to completely throw under the bus, and that's Russell Westbrook.
Hey, you said the thing. Hey.
Yeah. Russ.
What about Genie? Oh, sorry.
Well, we can get to Joseph Strudel in a little bit.
I don't condone that.
I don't care.
I condone it.
Alan, it's okay. It's not your podcast anymore. You're good.
It's not your podcast. You're good.
Oh shit. I'm just a guest here. It's fine. Yeah. I'm vibing.
I mean, you're always with us anyways, but I mean,
for all intents and purposes, I'm a guest.
Oh yeah, true. yeah. Thanks for joining us as a guest, Alan.
Welcome back. It's been a while.
Russell Westbrook though. We haven't done that in a while. Russell Westbrook though. I said before the year that there was a path to this working, but I didn't think it was going to happen. And he started off playing rough, and then he had a stretch where he played pretty good, and everyone's like, see, Clay, look, he's fine, Clayton, no worries. And now he sucks. He sucks.
Oh, man. He's like
after last night, he started off 3 for 3 from three, and then after that, he was, 1 for 11 from the field?
He was, I believe he was five. He finished the game 5 for 17, so he was 2
oh
for
Oh,
for,
my God.
12.
No, you guys are all wrong. He was like 0 for 1 million.
Oh my word! He just fair. This dude. I said after he hit that third three that is going to bite the Lakers in the ass because he's going to think, yeah, I'm on my rush shit now. I'm going to, you know, blah blah blah. I'm the man. No, you're not, dude.
Just doing this shit.
You suck, dude. Like, I don't care if you made a couple shots. You're not playing defense apparently the right way. When they told you, they told
but even
you,
that was wrong.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well,
just a quick one. Shout out to Caitlin Cooper.
Yeah, I was going to say. I saw that Pacers thing as well. That being said, you don't defend. You aren't being. You don't do what your coach tells you to do, and you would think. I don't remember who said this. You would think that he would watch film. And kind of see and just be like, oh, look, I'm playing like a dipshit. When in fact,
he doesn't watch film.
He doesn't watch film.
He said so. He doesn't watch film. He can't read scouting reports. He
can't read.
He's Floyd Mayweather.
I mean, the scouting report was wrong, but he doesn't know that because he doesn't read it.
Yeah, he was. There's Jamarcus Russell with the blank tapes.
Yeah. You guys know that story?
Marcus Russell. Oh, my God. Yes.
Of course.
The blank tapes. And yeah, I was like,
let me clarify to the listeners out there who don't know what we're talking about, okay? So Jamarcus Russell apparently was given tapes by the coaches, blank tapes, right? And the coaches were like saying, hey, take a look at these defensive coverages, right? Because they knew that Jamarcus Russell was really lazy. So Jamarcus Russell comes back the next day and he said, yeah, I watched all the tapes that you gave me. Yeah, like, I'm ready. Like, I've seen every coverage now. They're blank.
My favorite thing about Jamarcus Russell, before we move on, is
Stephen A. Smith called him
Jabba the Hutt. Yeah, 100%. Is it except for you, Jabba the Hutt?
All right.
No good.
Yeah, let's get back to the garbage that's on the Lakers, and
talking about Frank Vogel,
the man that wears the skirt West. Before the season. Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
I was
West, no. it wasn't even a kilt.
I got it.
It wasn't even a kilt. I can't do this anymore. Of he's a low turnover point guard now. He's not turning the ball over. I said this before we started recording. When you are attacking the rim so fast that you can't slow down, and then it turns into you falling down or chirping at the refs because he didn't get a call, that is essentially a turnover. I don't care if you got the shut up. I don't care what your brother said. I don't need to go watch the HBO documentary.
Playoff God, DeAndre Jordan. Don't forget, guys.
like.
Playoff God.
It doesn't matter when you are taking bad shots. Now, there was a shot that he took last night, and I was like, that's a bad shot, but it wasn't on Russ. It was like a pass out to him with like 2 seconds left, and he just had to chuck it. That wasn't on him. So I'm not blaming him for that. I think it was actually like his fourth three attempt. But there are so many times where he's thinking, let Russ be Russ, and he should stop that. Full stop. Just don't do it anymore.
Good luck.
Just don't do it anymore. He is a complete detriment to the team, and I am surprised it took to game what like 45 or whatever for them to realize they don't have to play him in the last 4 minutes to close the game. Like, they should have stopped that.
I got something real quick about that though. I think that when the reason why they say let Russ be Russ is because he doesn't know how to play any other way. When he tries to be under control, it limits his effectiveness because now, like, it looks like he's tentative, right? He can't, like, he doesn't attack the rim as much. He doesn't, like, he's a terrible shooter, so he's not helpful there. So, like, when you say let's not let Russ be Russ, it kind of like his turnovers go higher, but he becomes more effective in the sense of like he becomes more aggressive. And so, like, you kind of have to pick your poison here. It's like, all right, when you either have him play under control, which he doesn't really know how to do, or have him play like his normal dumbass self, and you're gonna have to just live with the consequences. That's kind of like the issue that the Lakers have with him.
And right now, I mean, Raj pointed it out on Twitter and the DMs a little bit. They're like his minutes have gone down the last 4 minutes. He played less than 30 the last like three or four, and they don't run offense with him with him involved.
They are taking the ball out of his hands, which then effectively is like, why did you trade for Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, right.
This is what I said.
Then bench him. If you're not going to run him in actions, bench him.
Yeah, and I said
get Reeves out there.
And I understand when Raj says he's $44 million. It doesn't matter at this point. He's on the roster. Blah blah blah, not blah 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 to Raj, but like, it just you can't separate it. That's the thing. You cannot separate it, right? Like. No one else can separate that. THT's got a 3-year, $30+ million deal. We can't do that with Russell Westbrook, who should know better. He should know better. You're in year 14, and you still don't watch film. You still don't read scouting reports. You still don't play basketball in an intelligent way. Like, when you are driving to the hoop, he already said, I'm not looking for a guy. I'm throwing to a spot. That is reckless. That is reckless. You're essentially saying, I need to be bailed out, so, you know, make sure you're over there. Like, I'm sorry. I've joined Alan.
I'd get rid of Russ for cap relief if we could. No, genuinely. Like, even if it meant like taking
bring on Tobias Harris. Exceptions.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would.
He's looking at you, Orlando.
Yeah, I would trade Russ for a ham sandwich. Not like a moldy ham sandwich, as Nas likes to say. A half-eaten sandwich.
I wish that we could trade with the Philippine Basketball Association. Like some, like, random Filipino player. Like, you know, but I would do that. I don't care. I can't. What's my number one pet peeve when it comes to players?
Stupidity.
Stupidity, exactly. I hate crayons. And Russ is the dumbest superstar, or used to be a superstar ever, period. You'll never see another player like him. He still makes rookie mistakes in year. What year is he now? 14?
14.
Yeah. Like, he makes mistakes that Reese doesn't even make. You know what I mean? And it fucking drives me nuts. Like, he's the JaVale McGee of point guards. And that's, you guys know how much I fucking hated JaVale. You know what I mean? I know JaVale played hard. And, but there's a lot of.
The difference is JaVale knows his role. Russ does not know his role. JaVale has adapted.
But yeah.
JaVale adapted. I mean, Russ has not adapted at all. He's still the same player that he was in year one.
He straight up refuses to. He straight up refuses to adapt.
Last night there was a lineup of. Last night there was a lineup of the four young guys and Carmelo Anthony. And I trusted Malik Monk, Austin Reeves, and Talen Horton-Tucker with ball handling and playmaking, like, way more than I do with Russ at this point. Because at least they make plays. Talen was making some legit plays. Austin Reeves was making legit.
Monk's playmaking was phenomenal at times.
I love that three-man lineup.
Like,
I love that three-man lineup.
They're so good. And then add Stanley to that. You can switch everything.
Oh, my word. And yeah. And Stanley, another failed lottery guy that LeBron's doing well with. Oh, my God. It's a miracle.
You want AD and LeBron to those three? And you're like, oh my god, this is how basketball should be played on this roster.
You have those three. You save Stanley Johnson. I mean, like, there's routes.
Stanley should be the backup big, essentially, if you're playing AD.
Pretty much.
Like, he should be the small ball five when AD's sitting later in the year.
He should never play with both LeBron and AD, but he should be on the court when AD's off the court.
He should be on the court for 18 to 20 minutes a night at this point when AD comes back.
And honestly, I'm not even mad if he plays with AD and LeBron, because the thing is, like, Stanley Johnson isn't a great three-point shooter, but he's a decent one if he only spot up, which is what he needs.
He's a really good playmaker, too. Like, surprisingly good playmaker.
And he
moves
really well off-ball as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has interior passing where he's, like, right in the paint, and he's able to, like, dump it to guys.
And he's got nice hands as well.
Look, I've been telling Clay this. I've been telling Clay this. Like, I believe in Stanley Johnson because the pedigree and the fact that he's young. Like, there's still something there. I believe in it. You know what I mean? And I think so far, I think I'm proven correct. I still hope that I'm proven correct. And, you know, the Lakers need more of those young guys, not less of them. And that's kind of – and it's being proven right now with, like, those combos of, like, THT, Malik Monk, Reeves and Stanley Johnson. Those guys are the three or four youngest guys on the team, and they're the ones. All three or four of those guys are usually the most productive lineups that they have.
So
right, like it,
so. Yeah. I've been trying to quickly go through.
Oh, yeah, I was doing that right now too.
Yeah. So the three man lineup of, oh crap, I just had it. Of it was LeBron. There we go. LeBron, Stanley, and THT. They've only played apparently 61 minutes together of that. They have an offensive rating of 122.4, a defense rating of 105.5, so a net rating of 16.9.
That's insane. Wow. Yeah.
They're playing well together. Like, LeBron does well with young guys.
The thing with Monk, with Reeves, and Monk doesn't get enough credit for this because I think Monk's quite a smart basketball player. You have Monk, you have Reeves, you have Stanley, and you have THT. Even though they're all young, they're all really smart. They know what they're doing out there. It's not, and like, even like we saw it with Melo, those four guys are Melo. They looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a run with those guys with LeBron off the court. So it's not even a case of they have to play with LeBron James. It's just a case of let these guys play. And if we're at this point in January where you're like, these guys are really fucking good, and we're like, why are they not playing more? That, again, that goes to me as an indictment on the coaching. Because if we can see it as Joe Smo in Manchester, who stays up till 6 a.m. to watch games, how is Frank Vogel not seeing it?
He's a moron. Well, go ahead.
But legitimately, it's either like
I wonder how
sabotaging at this point? Because I asked Merge this earlier today. I went, is he actually stupid or is he sabotaging at this point?
The answer is
I do wonder because, how much player politics get into this.
But it has to be the bulk of it. It has to be.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
Clay, I'm sorry,
there was
but
literally
like, if
the
we...
story today of talking about the benching of Russell Westbrook and how he was gonna go out to the locker room before the game was well over, like when he was first, because you have
I really hope DeAndre Jordan didn't do that, man. I really hope he didn't do that.
Of pulled him back.
Yeah, let him go. Fuck him.
He did.
I bet he stayed there.
The one thing about DeAndre Jordan is, and he shouldn't play. I don't mind that guy being the 15th guy on a roster because he's a really good person and he's
Jared
a really
Dudley.
Yeah, but like he's actually 7 foot and stays in shape, so cool. Yeah. He can be the 15th guy.
Yeah,
but it still goes back to the thing of player politics are great. If we had a rich owner, they just cut their asses.
Yeah.
Trevor Ariza, you're not happy with coming off the bench? You're cooked anyway. Bye. We'll find someone in the G League who's playing just as well as you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Kent Bazemore. Kent Bazemore looked three times better than what Ariza did, and he's just sitting on the pine. Right?
Yeah, I'd rather Baze be out there.
And we've heard nothing from Kent. Kent, if anything,'s been a model professional this entire time. If Ariza's complaining that he won't play, if he's coming off the bench, fuck him. Get him off the team.
Is that something
I'm at
missed?
That point.
Is that
no, I'm just saying, if it is player politics, I'm not saying he has, because I don't think Ariza is like that, but I'm just saying hypothetically, if it is that, just get rid of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's going to come down to if, regardless of if you cut, if you fire Frank, of if you even trade for Jeremy Grant, which we can get to here in a minute, this team needs some drastic changes, period.
With the roster. It needs a culture shift because it's a bad culture right now.
Well, and the problem is, and I said this at the beginning of the year, there were too many small guys. Mm-hmm. Like we look at Reeves as a bigger wing when he's like 6'5".
He's like a normal wing.
Yeah, I mean, he's
slightly below average wing.
He's KCP size.
Yeah, I mean, he's
Alex Caruso size.
He's Alex Caruso, just less athletic and more skilled.
And a better basketball player.
Yeah,
and more hair.
Not better defensively. Not better defensively, because Alex Caruso is the top three defensive guard in the NBA.
I'm with you on that. It's you need guys with size. That's why, like, I don't give a shit if Kendrick Nunn comes back. Honestly, if he never plays a single minute or a single second for the Lakers this year, I don't care. He's not a savior. There's still people saying, like, when he comes back with AD, that he's going to change.
I think he can help a ton, though.
I don't think he's that guy either.
I'm not saying he moves the needle, but I think he helps.
Yeah, I mean, but he's also
we play Avery Bradley and Trevor Ariza.
When you're comparing him to those guys, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, comparing him to those guys. But, like, a thing that...
Comparing to Russell Westbrook, I think he'd be better.
I mean...
I think so, too.
Like, no, I'm just saying.
Literally, the people wiping up the sweat off the floor at this point would be better than Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook was the guy wiping off the sweat off.
He was! He was!
The other day, all right?
I think if the Lakers make any moves...
to his next job, so...
If the Lakers make any trades, for me, what I think they should be looking at is a Kendrick Williams type of player, a young guy who won't cost you anything, but he fits
but
that
he
sort
will.
Of switchable.
That's the market's fucked right now, Merge. He will cost
Kendrick
either
Williams?
2 seconds or a protected first. No, genuinely.
Yeah,
I'm fine saying 2 seconds for Williams.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Like, there's so many teams are out there who are like trying to make it now that it's a seller's market now, you know, and so like these guys are like hiking up the prices to these trades. So the guy who's like let's just say Kendrick Williams or give me another kind of guy that's like under the radar. We'll say like
a Torrey Craig.
Torrey Craig, yeah.
Like the guys that normally like without a play-in would cost like maybe a second, it would probably cost more than that now, you know.
I think it's going to be interesting.
I heard the Pacers want a first for Torrey Craig.
What the hell? Are they on crack?
No.
But... Okay, real quick. We'll get in the trades before we'll do that after we smear Genie. Which that's already happened. But anyways, we'll get into that. The Indiana Pacers are a bad basketball team. We all agree on that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have one really, really good player in the Bud.
But I don't like. How are they so bad, though?
Yeah,
Malcolm Brogdon, according to NBA Twitter, Malcolm Brogdon essentially at that point is a superstar. From everything I've been told, I mean, act like he is. I mean, he's a good basketball player, but like, he's getting paid like a superstar. He's not. Domantas Sabonis is good. He's really good. He's an all-star.
Apparently the Wizards really want him. Apparently. That's what the rumor is right now. Beal really wants Sabonis, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised he's really, really good.
Yeah.
If I'm Washington, I'm not making a single deal until Bradley Beal signs an extension.
And, yeah. But he's not going to sign it until the summer anyway.
No, I know.
He's going to lose like 65 mil if he signs now.
But Miles Turner, before the stress fracture, he's good.
Reaction, not fracture.
Sorry. Thank you. Which essentially is just like a small fracture anyways, from my understanding anyways. But anyways, Chris Duarte, at the beginning of the year, I was told was the second coming.
Duarte was really good against the Clippers as well, to be fair. He's been really, really good.
Yeah, I mean,
I watched a lot of the Pacers this year.
He's solid, but I don't think he's like amazing. I don't know if I think he was.
He's probably a good starter.
Guy. Yeah. Probably. They have guys. Why are they so bad?
So
I'm just legitimately curious on that.
COVID.
So shameless plug. I am having two Indiana Pacer reporters on in the next week to talk about that because I'm just as perplexed as you. I don't understand why they're 16-29.
And
you have a good coach in Carlisle too.
Yeah,
it's a huge coaching upgrade that we're talking about.
Huge. Like what happened? Like, I know that they traded Victor Oladipo last year, but like, okay, you're like, he wasn't amazing for them.
Does
last
TJ
year,
Warren so... make this much of a difference?
Right? I don't like Caris LeVert is really freaking good, and that's the first time I said anything about him. Like, like Caris LeVert, who apparently would, I don't remember who it was on the Zach Lowe podcast, is more interesting than for like Ben Simmons than like anyone. Caris LeVert.
More than De'Aaron like, Fox or Halliburton.
Yeah, I like Caris LeVert, but like he's had how many injuries? He just recovered from cancer.
And he's also basically the same age as Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's surprisingly old. Yeah, he's like
not according to Kendrick Perkins though.
But I don't understand.
32 years old.
How are they 16-29? You said it doesn't make any sense.
They've had
some more stats. But... Before last night, in games they were trailing at halftime, they were 0-10.
Yeah. And then
they were 3-17 on the road.
God.
Yeah.
They had also won a road game since November.
So they're a decent home team still. Still a decent home team. They win most of their games at home. It's just they can't win away.
Goga Fudge.
Thank you. I did not want to screw that last name up. They haven't really
European names. Yeah,
that's why I waited. I really like him. They haven't much with him.
The crazy thing is, I like their entire roster. Really like their roster.
They're a boring team, according to it wasn't Sam Pacini, it was Dave Dufour. They're a boring team, and I can see that. I'm not really that high on Malcolm Brogdon, and even though we love Sabonis, I think there are times where he's kind of boring, but he's still really good.
The games I've watched of theirs, and I've watched quite a bit because I don't know, they're on a convenient time in England. They're on a convenient time. No, they're on it. Basically, there was a period where their games were on like 11 o'clock in the evening, so it would help me a lot because I could just watch basketball. They're fun to watch when they're actually playing well. It just makes no sense that as soon as they don't play in that racist field house, allegedly. I mean, just that one couple of LeBron fans Yeah.
Oh, like, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm not saying it out of, you know, just randomness. I'm saying it out of the fans that got kicked out due to LeBron James.
I mean, they burned down Reggie Miller's house back in the day, so.
Excuse me, what?
You I don't did not know this. That?
I'm 24. No,
this was back in the 90s, man. Like, they burned
exactly.
down.
Exactly, I wasn't born.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, they, there was like, that was like on a 30 for 30, I thought.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Winning time.
Like, yeah.
I've watched Winning Time like 18 times. I love Reggie Miller.
So. Yeah, no, they. I'm pretty sure they burnt. I'll look it up. It was like a very vivid dream or something. But I'm pretty sure they.
That's a weird ass dream to have, man.
I mean, dude, what dream is normal? But anyways,
let's go back to the genie talk, because this is what this topic was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Genie Bus needs to sell the team.
Yes.
Like expeditiously.
1997. I was right. Yep.
The year I was born. So thanks for that, Clay. Of course, I'll remember that.
July 14th. Arson cited and fire at Reggie Miller's house. Yep.
2 months before I was born.
I was right. It wasn't just a dream.
It was two whole months. Mm-hmm. Genie Bus. Lovely person. God bless her.
Can we fire an owner?
Like, at some point, Adam Silver's got to step in because it's the Lakers. No, but seriously. It's like the biggest franchise in the world.
With Genie, it's like, I feel like I hope that she could sell, like, the Bus family sells the team and then these guys get employment contracts. Look, Genie should still be involved somehow, right? I think she
does. Absolutely. She'll need that employment contract.
I've said that haven't I?
That goes besides the point. My point is that, like, Genie does have some redeeming qualities to her, but she cannot own a team because she's not, first of all, she can't.
Have her be the ambassador. That's the perfect job for her.
Or, like, just something. Like a front office person that isn't making decisions, but like it's
if
like
she wants to be the conduit between the basketball side of things and the owners. That's the perfect role for us, where she just reports back to the owners.
It always has been. She just got kind of dumped on her because Jerry was a horrible. That plus Jerry was a horrible owner. Jim. My bad.
We're not like, insulting Jerry Bus here. Come on, man.
I meant Jim.
I was about to say that is one piece of slander I will never take.
I always confuse the two names all the time.
it's like Senior Steinbrenner. Like I know Clay will never let a bad word be mentioned about old man Steinbrenner.
Oh my
Am
God.
I right, Clay?
Yeah. No, his sons, well, especially Hal. Right.
Hal's horrible.
Oh my word. Hal's going to hell for what he's doing to the Yankees right now. That dude has a first class ticket. That's something that Genie Bus wouldn't pay for.
No. Genie had a first class ticket that she exchanged for Coach because she wanted to save money. That's what it was.
Okay.
That's documented. Okay.
And that's what made Phil Jackson fall in love with her. Yeah.
That's how they started. That's how Phil Jackson was like, you know what?
Is it Phil Jackson from Montana? I know he does a lot of stuff in Montana or Wyoming.
Is he from New York?
I don't know.
I think he lives in Montana. I think he lives in Ohio.
Yeah, he lives in Montana. And I mean, ever since he stopped,
he's a New Yorker.
Lakers, he's a
He just like smoking nervous. Weed and eating magic mushrooms in Montana and fly fishing. I mean, sounds like a pretty good retirement.
Fly fishing. Yeah, he lives in Deer Lodge.
Hey, don't be dissing fly. Don't be dissing fly fishing.
Oh no, I mean, I'm here for Phil Jackson slander though. I will put that. I'll put that out there.
Back to Genie though.
Yes, back to Genie.
It's like. I don't know. I don't want to slander her too much because she's a lovely person. She has redeeming qualities that would be really, really great in any NBA franchise. It's just she handicaps the Lakers to the point where any mistake made is so detrimental to the team. Like, that's the point it's getting to now. Like, one mistake, that's it. That margin for error is too low for the biggest franchise in the world alongside, like, Real Madrid and Manchester United.
Well, yeah. I'll slander her because, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, lob it to Nas if you don't.
And I was about to say, Ali, you.
Yeah, because, you know, unlike Alan, like, I don't give a shit about, like, a media career. So, like, let me go ahead and, like, speak my mind on this. Okay. Like, look, honestly, I'm not going to.
Nas will have some billboards up, though. If you're hurt, please call him.
Yes, that is true. That is absolutely true. And you know what? my legal career won't be affected by this because I'm my basketball thoughts have nothing to do with my competency as a lawyer. So there you go. Anyway, so so anyway, no, well, but seriously, like Jeannie has some redeeming qualities to her, right? She like, you know, she has really good people skills. That's the one thing that she does have. This is something that a lot of owners do not have. It's something that nobody could deny. But she also has a lot of things that are necessary for an owner that she does not have. Like being, like right now, you got to be like a billionaire.
Money.
Yeah, like money. Yeah. Money's very important to be an owner. And she has less, her net worth is less than LeBron James. Her net worth is less than a player's. That's insane. That's number one. Number two.
Probably less than Chris Paul's at this point.
Yeah.
Think about how much money Chris Paul's made in his career. Or even like Russell Westbrook. He's probably his career earns is more than her net worth.
Like the thing, like Jeannie doesn't I don't know if she hires for competency, but I feel like she hires because these people, like the people around her, like she could trust. Even
she doesn't
like,
know ball. That's the thing. It's just that. I mean, she doesn't know it like that. And that's what she hires her friend who she thinks know basketball and yeah. You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like it's a lot of things that she does. Like you know, she puts a lot of things on the table, away a lot of things on the off the table. So it's like, you know, I'm like really sick of it. Like I hate having to justify moves because you know it's a smart thing instead of like just because they're fucking broke, you know, like and for owners standards and shit. You know what I mean? It's like I hate that, and it sucks. Like you know, like. A rich owner would have waived DeAndre Jordan a long time ago. Period. Mm-hmm. Right?
We'd have Alex Caruso on the team right now, for example.
Frank Vogel would not be the coach right now.
Yeah, like it'd be Ty Lue. Like stuff like you know, they'll eat the contract. They don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like whatever.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Like plus since the Lakers are like the biggest brand on earth in terms of basketball, possibly any sport. Like
top five at least. Yeah,
they deserve. To have a billionaire owner, period. It's just something that they deserve to have. It's just weird having one of the poorest owners with one of the biggest brands out there. It just doesn't match. Like peanut butter without jelly, or like or Mac without cheese. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? So I don't know. I hope that she sells. Like, I don't think she ever will because I think this is part of her identity. Like,
she had to be forced out.
Yeah. Like, imagine if like. If Jeannie Buss and the Buss family weren't Laker owners, would anybody even recognize them? Would they get any perks around LA if they were like if anybody? They
like, probably would because she's done so many favors for people. In all seriousness,
maybe. Other thing also is that like, who are they? Like, what is their status now? It's like they're former owners. Like nobody cares. You know what I mean? Like, does anybody care who the former owner or the Dodgers are? And they ran
who, the Frank former, McCall.
Oh, like, the McCoy and McCourt.
No,
Frank McCall.
The O'Malley's. Bastard. The O'Malley's ran the team for like I think like 60, 70 years. Yeah. Does anybody remember who they are? No,
they were the only guy. Brought...
You know what I mean? So, like, nobody cares about shit like that. Like, at the end of the day, like, you either own the team or you don't. And I think that's part of like who they are. They don't want to take out a key part of their identity. That's why they'll never do it. But I think the only way this team can actually reach its maximum a potential is for them to sell, because they don't even own their own building. Like that that crypto.com like deal that AAG has. The Lakers aren't getting a piece of that. They're getting a separate deal with crypto for advertising. Like them and the Kings, but it has nothing to do with AEG's deal with them. Like that should never happen. You know what I mean? So hopefully they sell, and we could get like the best people at every position possible. Like you know, instead of having to second guess like what it is that they're doing, it's like, oh no, don't worry about it. You could trust Jeannie on this. No, it's like I'm tired of that. Like I really, really am. I know that Jeannie has a good heart. This is not debatable. Like, she really, for all intents and purposes, like, you know, she really has a good heart. And she, like,
I kind of like hiring her podcaster. I mean, that was just that was out of the kindness of her heart.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about other stuff, but you know, we're
I know I'm just here for the slander.
Yeah, well, I understand too. I understand both sides, but like, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm sick of it. Like, you know, because I don't think the positive necessarily outweighs the negatives. Like, she can't, like, for her as an owner, at least, she needs to not be the owner. She needs to just be, hopefully, this is for me, and I don't
think face of LA.
Yeah. Like Magic Johnson.
What's up?
Yeah, Magic Johnson for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she needs to be.
Yeah. You can be the face of the franchise. That's fine. 100%. Like, Magic Johnson is a figurehead. That's what I hope Jeannie is too. Like some sort of ownership where, like, she's not, but she's not making decisions. Period. That's it.
There's a lot of owners, people who partially own teams, and you really only know them more than you know the actual owners. I think Usher owns part of the Hawks. Justin Timberlake owns part of the Memphis Grizzlies.
No,
the Cavs.
It's the Cavs.
Is there somebody that's partially owned of the Hawks?
Grant.
No, Shaq owns part of the Kings. Like,
Shaq owns part of the Kings, right?
No, he sold it. He sold his part.
Oh, he did?
Did he?
Yeah. Because he's
involved. That's why he no longer mentions him on TNT.
What's up?
That's why he no longer mentions the Kings on TNT.
Yeah, because he according to league rules, since he's part of a sports betting company now, like, he cannot own a team, so, or be a part owner for a team, so that he has to,
which divest. Makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But like the fact remains is that, like, you know, he could be the figurehead, and that's cool, or like, and just be like sort of like an ear to whoever, like, whatever rich person owns the team, because whoever, like, owns the team really needs that connection between the like that human connection, and a lot of billionaires are just stupid when it comes to people, so maybe she's the one who smooths things out. I'm just hoping that happens. I don't know, we'll like, I doubt it'll ever happen. I think, like,
the wishful thinking.
Yes, yeah, like, I think that's wishful thinking.
That's never happening. I mean, yeah. do you remember
we're taking over a pandemic,
the app probably it do you remember the absolute love fest from all sports entertainment sites when she kicked Jim to the curb? Do you remember?
Which was a good decision, by the way. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah, but it was the obvious. It was also the obvious decision.
It was.
And it should have been made 18 months ago.
That's fine. But that's why she's never going to leave, because she got the attention she wanted.
Yep.
Same thing when Lakers won. There's a lot of attention on her being the first female owner to win an NBA.
Yep.
I just want an ownership group, honestly, with any, well, other than Kansas City, where Clark Hunt is just absolutely filthy rich because he's in oil. But I just wish,
like, he gets,
like,
it though. He gets football though as well. It's
he
not
does.
Just that.
He does. He does. I just wish, like, personally, for, like, because the Yankees howls a piece of garbage and won't spend money when you were literally, whatever. Well, I'm not going to get into that. Anyways,
the biggest issue with it is
Lakers print money essentially, and she
no,
she doesn't get any of it. That's the problem.
So one thing I do want to say is she doesn't realize that the Lakers look into getting superstars because we're the Lakers. Right, it's nothing that we do. It's LeBron wants to play for the Lakers. There may be potential superstars in the next year or two who are free agents who go, yeah, I've wanted to play for the Lakers my entire life. I'm going to LA. So, shmurge. But I'm being serious. But then she'll put it down as good process when in actuality it's people want to play in LA.
It's a double edged sword of being that prestigious of a franchise that is built off of their stars so heavily, you know?
Look, yeah, I will say this, it would be really on brand for the Lakers to, like, actually still win the championship even with all this bullshit going down.
Oh, man. Oh, I can imagine. And there's absolutely a path to that happening.
Yeah, like the Lakers are good at fucking shit up and still still somehow winning, and like pinning off every small market team and every like blogger out there, because like
it would destroy NBA Twitter.
I wonder what it would be like if Twitter was around during the Shaq and Kobe 2001 championship run.
Part of me is I know that's likely to happen, but if there's an avenue for it, it's not completely impossible. Maybe the Lakers figure this shit out and then they win. But I'm hoping that it does, because you already know who's gonna bitch about that shit. You already know it's gonna
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It would be the funniest thing ever if we ended up winning somehow. Like I was saying, imagine if Twitter was around when Shaq and Kobe Lakers in 2001 happened, where they were like a really bad regular season, really bad quote unquote regular season team, and then they just absolutely decimated the playoffs.
And Nas and BJ's DM that we used to have, we just talked about with Jordan about how he just ruined people's childhood.
Yep.
That's essentially what the Lakers did for a while as well. They ruined.
We've done it for five generations.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We just ruined, and that's why they hate the Lakers. And anyways, back to Genie before we move on, because I think we do need to talk some trade type stuff. I just wish that Genie had the money or sold, because I keep looking up at the Warriors, and I know at this point everyone but their process has been really good, right? They have all these young guys. Lakeup is literally saying, no, you're not trading James Wiseman, because he's a young budding star in their opinion. In the case of the Lakers, we just trade anything and sometimes for cap, and it's just oh my god, kill me now.
Well, because they've done asset management really well. I mean, think back to the D'Angelo Russell deal. They gave him all that money, and then they got potential all-star Andrew Wiggins back for it. And he's making less than D'Lo, as much as D'Lo, and he's been better.
Tell me a deal where the Lakers walked out ahead. Other than you can obviously Anthony Davis, because flash by forever. But that was 2008?
Yeah.
Eight, nine? I mean,
maybe you can argue the Shannon Brown trade, Trevor Ariza trade.
I mean, it's at that point, it's been damn near 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, AD, because flags fly forever, I will go to my grave saying that they probably didn't have to give up as much as they did, though, because the Boston Celtics and Danny Ainge were not going to give up Jason Tatum or Jalen Green, because that's not what they did. Or the picks, because they just thought AD was going to walk there. Tell me the last asset management. Caruso walked for nothing.
Maybe the Lou Williams trade?
You let Thomas Bryant walk for nothing.
Julius Randle,
you essentially traded for Rajon Rondo, was not good. And Randle last year was.
I think that the last good trade, but it was an alley-oop good trade, but it was the Lou Williams for a first round pick.
When Magic
took over.
Yeah, that's the one.
I would say two of them. It's that one, and also the trade for trading off Larry Nance and Jordan Clark for what's his name?
Channing Fry. And a first rounder, right?
Yeah.
Am I right on that?
Guys were firing, and it gave him cap space to get LeBron. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah. And you got the
but
first.
I don't think that they made that deal knowing that LeBron was coming.
I don't think so either. They wanted the pick, and I think that it ended up being – who that pick ended up being? Was it Josh Hart or something?
It was Mo Wagner, but that's not the.
Oh my god!
No, but I mean, that's not the point.
That draft got brought up the other day by at Canyon Driver Mike Garcia. That draft got brought up, and it threw me back to. I remember I was trying to stay up. I was in Rome at the time, my god, when I woke up, it was 1,200 messages from multiple DMs, Merge was in almost every single one of them, and Merge is Clayton is going to be so fucking pissed. Clayton is going to be so
We could have got Melton, we could have got dude from the Knicks, what's his name?
Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson.
So bad because the front office didn't want to go with scouting. But then in that case, the scouting screwed up.
Scouting was Omari Spellman.
Omari Spellman was garbage as well.
Yeah.
So, everybody fucked up the draft.
That draft was bad. There was like the only redeeming thing from that draft was Isaac Bonga.
And
Because Svi's been really, really good this year.
With but the like you kind of probably went overboard on Bonga even. And so like Svi was a great one, but like Mo Wagner.
I don't mind Bonga at 34 though. I think that's the type of guy you try and make into a player.
A second round, it's fine.
I'm totally fine with that. That's fine.
The potential of a Bonga is ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you didn't spin for the moon in the first round, then second round
was it a year? They dealt him a year later. Then for
it was the Jamario Jones, Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga trade because they thought Kawhi was coming.
Yeah, which like. You say we will make that trade once we have the cap space.
Yeah, there's
like,
there's a moratorium. You can wait 3 days, 5 days, whatever it is. You trade them after.
Yeah, like just add another asset to it. But no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm on like the flip side because like we kind of like had to trade them like not because you have to like even the moratorium like Bonga, Wagner and Jamario Jones weren't going to help us anyway. Right, so it doesn't matter.
And if you get a chance of having Kawhi Leonard with AD and LeBron, you do it. Like even if it's like a 10% chance.
I understand that, and from what it sounded like at that point, it was like at the 1 yard line, right?
It was Seattle against New England.
Yeah. And what? Malcolm Butler is the Clippers.
The problem is that Kawhi was Malcolm Butler. That's the problem, okay?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know that he was playing for the other team. So.
Yeah, he was
throwing to Ricardo like it.
He was both Russell Wilson and Malcolm Butler on that play.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so to trade, do you want to hear an interesting tidbit I've heard of a very, very reputable journalist?
Yes.
He said he does not understand, and I've said it in one of our group chats, Narcissism, that this particular gentleman does not understand the THC hate, as he believes that if Talen Horton Tucker was a trade piece on another team, he'd be valued as the most valuable trade piece on the market right now.
It's almost like people hate Lakers prospects.
I want to know who is...
And I'll tell you who it is after we finish recording, by the way.
Who is that... Who's that much better than THT? Who's the most valuable, other than like you could say multiple picks? I want to know.
Are you saying that Denny Avdija is not more valuable than Talen Horton Tucker?
Yeah, I'm gonna say that, and I know.
Thank God, thank God you're saying that.
I know.
I mean, there's been some Rui talk potentially if they do try to trade for Sabonis.
But Rui's hurt all the time.
Yeah, that too.
Rui's hurt all the time.
Who? You know, it's crazy to me too.
Rui Hachimura.
Like Cam got traded for a protected first round pick, right? And THC's having a better season than Cam right now. And
he's a better player objectively, and he's younger.
Yeah. It's who is that piece then? Because like is it
who's in talk is for it Jeremy Pat Grant right now?
Is it Pat Williams?
Pat like, Williams, Pat yeah.
It might be, but who's hurt for pretty much the entire year. And
if I'm a Detroit, for example, sorry to interrupt you, Clayton. If I'm a Detroit, and even though I really like THT, which you guys know I really, really do, I just the value of a Patrick Williams and what his potential could be as a huge wing.
Yeah,
and what I saw last year, and what I saw last year from Pat Williams, I'm doing that deal over THT. I've seen people try and say that Kobe White's a better trade chip than Talen Horton Tucker.
Kobe White should have never been a lotto pick. I'm here for all the Kobe White slander. He was never good enough to be a lotto pick. He was not a good prospect. I don't understand what people saw. That was essentially them trying to recreate a Malik Monk back in the day when we had our boy Cole Swicker on. No, Kobe White isn't
but
very
Malik
good.
Monk was better.
He was better. He was objectively better.
I had him as like a top four prospect in that draft too.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
I love Malik.
But like, yeah, if Pat Williams is on, I get it. I don't at the same time because yeah, he's losing a year of development. I wasn't the biggest Pat fan going into the draft. He was overdrafted.
Watching him in the NBA, I feel a different way. I think he's phenomenal. I think he can be phenomenal. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, so like, if you want to say other than him, but then it goes to Chicago. Do they want to pay that team? Think of that team. That team is expensive. You have Lonzo on what, $20 million a year? You have LaVine, who's about to be up for an extension, and he's making over 20.
He's getting the max.
Yeah, he's going to get the max. You have DeMar DeRozan.
Vucevic is on 25.
Yeah,
DeMar's on 23.
Yeah,
is it 30?
Nah. No, he's free 89. He signed.
Yeah, he's 20. So he's at like 28 this year. So and it goes up. That is a lot of dough.
Even like Caruso, eleven-ish, yeah.
Yeah. So then you add in Jeremy Grant, that's a lot of money. I mean, maybe Reinsdorf or whatever finally like, oh, I'm not gonna be a cheapskate dating back to the '90s. But I mean, like, that's a lot of money.
Jeremy Reinsdorf.
So I don't unless he was to like deal.
So what you're saying is they need to shed some salary, so they need to send Caruso back. Got it.
For Avery Bradley, DeAndre
Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah, perfect. Sounds good to me.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Nas.
No, I was gonna say. Go trade Russ for Alex Caruso.
I'll do it in a heartbeat. I'll do it in the fastest second in known demand.
Sent.
And a Malik Monk heartbeat.
Yeah. Fresh snow. Let's
in Charlotte.
Like who else is like a real bidder for him? Like that. Like what? Philly?
For Jeremy?
Atlanta? Yeah, Jeremy. I mean Atlanta.
From what I've heard, has interest. Utah has interest. The Lakers Washington. Have interest.
Let's talk about
if they don't get Sabonis has interest.
So then let's talk then about pieces. Okay, Utah has.
It would be like Joe Ingles, Jared Butler, and a first is what I've seen.
Yeah. That's not better in my opinion than the Lakers. And then you got Washington. I know that roster.
I mean, what about Kispert? Kispert, nope. And then like a Rui, nope. Like a Rui and like a first.
Nope.
Kispert's been good this year. He's not as good as THT.
Yeah. Nope.
I'm just throwing out prospects.
And then you guys said Atlanta. That's an interesting one, but I don't know honestly what that changes in Atlanta.
Are you doing it for
Bogey and then making it a three-way? But
you're trying to get me fired is what you're trying to do.
Never. I don't doing it. And then when push comes to shove, is Chicago going to be like, yeah, we'll give you Pat Williams? Or is Atlanta going to be like, yeah, you know what? Bogey is so much better on offense, but he's bad on defense. So
but
let's
he's not bad
do
on defense.
He's not, but he's not Jeremy Grant good on defense.
No.
Right? But, you know, like, so do we take that flip-flop or I don't because Jeremy Grant, in my opinion, plays what DeAndre Hunter and John Collins play.
What if they threw out like a Kev Herter and like
he's
on
a poison pill contract.
He is. I was him and like Jalen Johnson in a first.
Yeah, he's on a poison pill contract. He's only at like 5.5 this year or something like that. But then you have to be able to somehow match the following year or whatever. I can't remember the cap gymnastics of it. It's hard to do that if I remember correctly. I mean, we were talking
when we signed Kuzma to that deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was even though he was making like $3 million, we had to match him for his $13 million.
Mm-hmm. So, and then you need the cap space, which Atlanta doesn't really do. So
they have none. They're close to the luxury tax. Yeah.
Yeah. So then it comes down to who's going to pay. And that's why I don't think Detroit is going to get this crazy ass deal, but I'm gonna put this out here. We can keep talking contracts, or unless something is done with management or coaching, I should say, and unless something happens with Russell Westbrook, it doesn't matter what trade you make, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's Jeremy Grant. I don't care if it's guys that we've talked about off air. We'll throw
you talking about Bogdanović. Are you trying to get me in trouble?
I you were the one that said it. So anyways, I don't care.
I'm talking about Utah Bogdanović, by the way.
Right. We're talking about Bojan Bogdanović, guys.
Yeah. I don't care who it really is. If Russ, how he apparently was last night, and Frank is still here, it doesn't matter. I think then that you need to kind of do things that make the team a bit better along the edges, which with the Lakers they can potentially do, but matching like vet minimum for vet minimum contracts is difficult. Like,
my main thing is, I think what they should do, but they probably won't do it, it needs to be, if they're even like serious about trying to push a little bit, and but they can't get like a Jeremy Grant, they need to go on the margins. They need to get some margin guys who are wings, like Torrey Craig or someone who's just big. Like Stanley Johnson is literally just big, and he's helped this team out. And he's been good too, obviously. I'm not trying to discredit what Stanley's done so far, but he's literally just a big body, and that's why he's thrived so much on this team, among other things. But they just need to add some periphery guys, which they failed to do coming into this year. Mm-hmm. And they don't really have the assets to really get those periphery guys. Even with our seconds, we don't have a ton of seconds too, right?
The thing is they need to get back to what that 2020 team was, the bubble team. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my thing with the roster earlier when we were talking about Frank. You went with a small ass roster when what one and has proven to do so with AD and LeBron is guys that are 6'4", 6'5", and up. You know, when they won, they didn't have Avery Bradley in the bubble, thank God.
The Lakers beat the shit out of teams. That's why they won.
Yeah, they had big wings. You know, Markieff was a big four, good small.
I think they messed up not bringing back Markieff. I think that was a huge mess up. Yeah. If we're going to talk, I know Marquis's been out for like 30 games because, you know, Jokic sent him into 2027. but no, like Marquis should have still been a Laker. Wesley Matthews should have still been a Laker.
Oh, man, that one, I know that one especially pisses off our buddy BJ. But like Caruso, 6'5", yeah. Big guard. Like
if you replace like those guys, Morris, Wes Matthews, and Alex Caruso in place of Avery Bradley, DeAndre Jordan, and Trevor Ariza. And
DeAndre Jordan. It's a different conversation we're having.
Team? Yeah.
I just.
Or even Wayne Ellington or Kempe is more like just pick.
I want to see Kent play. Kent hasn't played for a while. I want to see him play. I mean, at this point, it can't be worse than Avery Bradley, and I don't know if it can be worse than Trevor Ariza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because Trevor looks cooked. So it comes
Stanley,
down
to like, Bazemore and THT should be the main like.
You gotta find a young names contracts that are small. You know, you gotta find that shit along the margins, as we said. You know, like you brought up a Jalen Johnson from mm-hmm. the Hawks. Maybe Kent Bazemore in a second for Jalen Johnson works for him.
Well, look at Svi. Because the Raptors aren't doing much this year. He's only on a one-year deal. He's an unrestricted free agent, so he can leave at the end of the year anyway.
Or OKC. They have a guy starting right next to Shea. Just saying.
Josh Giddey, I wish.
No.
I know, like Josh Giddey. He'd be great on the Lakers.
No.
I'd love Josh Giddey.
I mean,
Lou Dort?
There we go. Lou Dort.
I think Dort...
I think the value around the league
is too first for Lou Dort because of that contract.
I would love to actually see that happen.
Hey, we were singing Lou Dort's praises coming into that draft too. We were saying, I love Lou Dort.
I would trade a first for Lou Dort.
That's how good
I think he is.
I still have no idea how he went undrafted.
Hey, you and Rashad Phillips. You and Rashad
Phillips. Well, maybe he pulled up. Maybe he pulled Austin Reaves. Maybe he pulled an Austin Reaves and just told teams not to draft him. That could be the case.
Maybe. I thought he didn't sign with someone like right away. I thought he signed with like a G League team.
Terrence Davis was the first guy to do it though, wasn't he? Where he just actively went, I don't want to get drafted there.
Yeah. Well, now he's like kind of out of the league because he's a crazy.
Well, I mean, he's on a 2-year $8 million deal in Sacramento, so I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
It's basically, did they really? Oh man.
Because he played well when he got traded there last year.
Gotcha. He's a crazy person.
What about what's his name? Mo Harkless. Maybe you could do something.
Where is he?
We've been trying to get Mo Harkless in Los Angeles for like 5 years.
With the Kings.
And the Kings aren't trading with the Lakers.
Yeah. Another thing too.
That's why the name Harrison Barnes that keeps coming up. I ignore it.
So I think they would trade, but I think it would be like a last resort.
Or it's a clear win for them.
Yeah. They need to save face.
Yeah, after the trade that was going to be for Buddy Hield, I mean, that was going to be a nothing trade, really.
Yeah, like, I know people are... Now.
It was supposed people to be are all over Kuz and Perez for them. We kept the first and
KCP.
KCP.
Yeah. I do think in hindsight, like how much better the Lakers would be with that team, though. You know,
even though Buddy Hield hasn't been great, like he's been fine. He's only shot threes, pretty much. It feels like, but still, he'd be a lot better than what Russ would be doing because people would still be guarding him out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I said when it happened, I didn't need hindsight. I didn't need hindsight.
I want a Buddy Hield too.
I think we all preferred the Buddy Hield move, but we just tried to be optimistic about Russell Westbrook.
And then we all tried to be optimistic. Nope.
I think that's what happened. I don't think it was anyone saying it was a clear win.
That was something I pointed out with Raj too. I had said, dude, like once he became a Laker, everyone was essentially trying to rationalize it. And, oh no, it'll be fine. He's with AD and LeBron. It doesn't matter. And then it happened.
I think also the reason why we went after him is because we saw what happened in the first round. Like Buddy Hield's not going to help us win a championship. To be honest, he's not. Like you know, and the moves that we could have made around that, like we were looking for like a home run, and Dame wasn't available. Because you know whatever bullshit, and plus Portland just won't under no circumstance will Portland ever trade with us. So
that's weird.
Yeah, because we kicked our ass for so many years.
Those fans legitimately hate the Lakers. I think they hate the Lakers more than possibly the Celtics fans. Like, it's
but I don't
incredible.
Get that because I don't even like consider them a rival.
They do.
Like, they're not even the same stratosphere.
They do. They do for sure. I mean, going back to like Reuben Patterson, man. Those late 90s, early 2000s.
The Kobe stopper.
Yeah, the quote unquote Kobe stopper. Yeah, no, like they. My wife used to live up in Oregon, and she said like no, they like.
Oh no, I understand that they hate. I just don't get it.
Shout out to Ian Carmel.
Yeah, shout out to Ian Carmel.
So question for you guys. Do you actually think
I'm saying he looks good now, I'm just saying. He listened to my advice.
Go ahead, Alan.
Question for you guys. Do you guys think we actually make trades?
Yes, but not the trades people are expecting. I think it's gonna be little trades.
Yeah, fuck up somehow. To be honest with you, I think we're gonna get desperate and we're gonna fuck it up. Like, I think THT is gonna like raise his value and we somehow fuck it up somehow.
So
THT keeps sucking for a little bit, please.
I think it's either going to be an overpay or just minor things. Like, do you remember when they traded Zubats for Mike Muscala? Everyone was like, Well, first off, everyone knew immediately that was a bad deal. But
I threw my phone. True story, yeah. I was at work. I threw my phone at the wall. I paid £50 to get my screen fixed, and it was worth every single penny. I still can't believe it happened.
Yeah, no. But, like, do you remember how disappointing that trade deadline was?
Yeah, there was there was like one player. Oh, it was like it was Marcus Morris, right? That's who we were trying to get, right?
Yeah,
Marcus Morris.
Like we were trying to get we traded for Reggie Bullock a couple weeks before that. We traded the speed and like a second for him, and then we were doing our best trying to get AD, but like you know like it just
right. That's what it was.
Yeah. It was that AD.
Yeah, I think Morris was the next.
Right, right.
Because New York wanted like 3 first round picks from us, but then let him go for a bag of chips to the
Marcus Morris. The Marcus Morris trade happened in 2020, and then we still eviscerated the Clippers, and
we got Markeith. No, so we didn't trade for Marcus, and we got Markeith on the buyout.
The last good year of Markeith's career, we got.
So you remember, like, I think it's either – I think no matter what, that's what the trade deadline is going to feel like for Lakers fans. There's so many people that are like, Jeremy Grant's going to solve this team.
No.
He's not.
And
he's not.
The same amount of people who are like, get out of here, THT. He's traded already by THT.
Oh, he's like that tweet that I put out. I couldn't believe how many people going, yeah, trade him for Terrence Ross. I'm like, have you guys watched Terrence Ross?
Jeez.
I know, or Eric Gordon, like,
and I like Eric Gordon. I made it very clear that I really like both players. I think they're both good.
Terrence Ross as well, but the problem is neither of them solve anything. Terrence Ross,
your last young asset,
and they both aren't
either a 30-year-old or a 33-year-old. No, Ross has got another year on his contract.
Gordon does too.
Yeah, so neither are expiring.
And he's making like $20 million, something like that next year.
The only way I could rationalize a Ross move is if like Bamba was included, but then why would the Magic do that? Because Bamba's been really good.
For Bamba all last year too, and now he's been good this year.
They're incredibly stupid trades, so I totally expect the Lakers to make them. So.
because I honestly think it'll get quote unquote desperate season or whatever. Cause like, it's just, I think that's it's either going to be that or it's going to be small moves. I think if it's a big move, we're all going to be like, fuck. Because I honestly, yesterday BJ put out, you know, like it's going to be THT, none of that 2027 pick and like Austin Reeves. And then you're going to get like nothing back other than Grant. And I'm just going to be like, I like Grant. I do. I like Grant. I think that's one thing that I haven't communicated well, like in all of our group chats.
I think we all agree that we like Jeremy Grant. Yeah. I like Jeremy Grant probably more than most.
Yeah.
However, Jeremy Grant for more than Talen Horton. I think Talen Horton took Kendrick Nunn in the first is already overpaying for Jeremy Grant. You add more to that, we're going to, what the fuck are we doing there? Like, why are we trading like a star type haul for a role player? And then not to mention that Jeremy Grant, wherever he gets traded, he wants to get paid. And he wants to guarantee he'll get paid.
And he wants a role.
So the role thing I've heard. So just one sec, sorry guys. The role thing I've heard isn't a big deal. He just wants his money before he commits to playing in a lesser role, which is fair enough, right? You want your money guaranteed before you commit to that role. I get it from a business perspective. You do you, Jeremy, on that point. So I'm not mad at him for that. But you have to get your ducks in order. And I don't think the Lakers would do that anyway. I think they'd just let him walk in 18 months.
Yeah, which is just mind-boggling to me. And then if you do a big deal like that, as I said earlier, say you do that deal, okay? You do THT, you do the Nunn's contract because, I mean, like, at this point, he's never going to play because, like, whatever. And then that 2027 pick. You want to get off of Russ. I mean, the only people that don't want to get rid of Russ is his brother and Twitter
his family. Yeah. Just his family in general.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, his
they're probably stands. They're probably like the fact of having him in LA. Like, you know, it's probably.
Have you seen his Have you seen his documentary?
Yeah.
Why is it airing now? I've completely forgot.
The what?
Yeah.
Why is it airing? I have no idea.
It's HBO Max, isn't it? Isn't that what he said?
Fucking C-SPAN.
Well, that's the point. Yeah, he made like a big like
deal
about it being
so
on
like,
HBO.
So like you do all that for Grant, then at that point you have nothing.
Yeah, you have no depth you already have, you have less.
You have nothing.
To be fair though, the one thing I would say is that you could always get assets back for Jeremy Grant. Because Jeremy Grant is a type of player that will always like attract people, whether it's a shit team because they've seen what he can do on a shit team.
So then,
and GMs are stupid.
The problem is then like you trade for all that for Grant, and then now you trade Grant out to then trade Russ out.
No, I'm not saying for a Russ deal. I'm just saying if you ever wanted to trade Jeremy Grant,
just to get assets for him,
and you'd get assets back.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's just it goes back to like. Then you are then stuck with Russ for another year.
Well, no, here's the other thing too. It's like if you have Jeremy Grant and then you're expecting to trade him. You're really relying on the Lakers to have good asset management now,
which I don't like rely on.
It's relying on Mike McCarthy have a good clock management. You know,
it makes sense because the Lakers get cheap young guys, Austin Reeves. Yeah, Alex Caruso. Yeah, we've been able to see them do stuff like that. But, like, they don't
hold on to them.
They don't hold on to them. They don't do it every single year. That's the thing. They don't do it every year. So, it's not like they buy picks because Genie doesn't have any money. So, it's just – I don't
– I have a question. So, if it came to this, either – during before deadline or during the offseason, if we had to attach THT with Russell Westbrook to get rid of him, do you do it?
Oh no, yes, I wouldn't. I would not.
What do you mean?
I'm joking. I wouldn't. Like,
you're then at that point in the offseason, you're trading $60 million worth of salary.
Yeah, I know you're getting it'll probably be like a Tobias Harris type thing or like a John Wall and like a another asset or Eric Gordon, John Wall, and like you have to get an asset back or something, you know?
Yeah, you gotta get like seconds back with like John Wall and like Eric Gordon. I may entertain it, you know what I mean? Like it has to be something, but it just can't be like a salary dump. If it's a salary
or like
dump,
Tobias Harris and like Danny Green or something.
No,
not Danny Green.
Saying Danny Green.
No. I'm just talking salaries, though.
Fuck you.
I'm just talking salaries, though.
Fuck yeah. Okay. Fuck you for even mentioning Danny Green. Fuck you. Okay.
What if it was like a Ben Simmons trade?
Huh?
Oh, Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris. Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris.
So that
was. They want to unload Tobias Harris so bad.
That was something that Jason. Rogers brought up in a dream scenario of Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris for Russ and, you know, whatever salary needs to be. I would guess probably a THT. But then that's relying on Joel Embiid to, as he said, agree to that. And they've never really liked each other.
Yeah.
So.
Maury, I think would, to be honest with you.
I don't think so. I think that he's fucking that situation up so bad that
unless he's heard that James Harden is coming in the summer, which is possible.
Yeah, there were rumors that he's
which is very possible. To be fair, like all fairness to Daryl Morey, if there is a chance that you can get James Harden, you hold off till the summer on Ben Simmons trading. You sacrifice a year.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting anyone as good as James Harden in a trade.
And there's a lot of talk with Harden too, recently at least, that
yeah,
he
like,
wants to leave.
Multiple Brooklyn. Sources, multiple reports from multiple different people are talking about the fact that he's open to not being Brooklyn anymore. Which is just hilarious.
It. Yeah, I especially love that because
it closes KD's title window. But that's the biggest reason for me.
And essentially, that's a giant F you to Kyrie, which is especially fun.
Yeah,
because of his nonsense.
Yeah, fuck
I mean, I hate. I feel like I made my feelings on Kyrie Irving clear when me and Ricky talked about him for like 50 minutes on a podcast one time. But yeah, like I really don't like this whole messiah aspect that Kevin Durant's taken on. He is not by far the best player in the world. He is not the same player he was 5 years ago. I don't know who needs to hear it. It's the truth. And if you think he is, go get help, please. I just find Brooklyn a really annoying team. Interesting, but really annoying because they're nowhere near this like super team that everyone tries to make them out to be. And then they've got an even worse coach than us, which doesn't help.
And I don't know honestly how much you can put that on Steve Nash. Because I mean, remember, I just think
he's a bad coach.
Yeah, but I mean
that too.
That day that he was hired, Kyrie's like, yeah, we're essentially all going to coach.
It's not Steve Nash's fault, but
it's not his fault, but he's a bad coach.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
The Super Brooklyn Nets team is never going to accomplish anything, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And also, especially when we talk about injury-prone players in the whole media of the NBA, no one has ever given a dig to Kevin Durant for missing game time. Kevin Durant has missed more game time in the past 2 years than Anthony Davis has, but you don't see that mentioned anywhere.
Ever. He's had like two major injuries in his career. He had that foot injury back in OKC, and then he had the Achilles, obviously.
And now the MCL.
Yeah.
Now the MCL sprain.
He just had what AD had, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's correct.
He's just lucky he's so skilled as a 28 as an offensive player.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need his athleticism, but that's the thing. He can keep doing what he does for like 4 or 5 more years because he can just shoot the ball really well.
Dude, that's
taller than everybody.
You know what's fucking pisses me off so much, man? Just really like part of the reason why they won't fire Vogel. He'd come back really soon, right? Supposedly, right? So now it's like okay, like they don't want to fire Vogel because then people would be like Vogel's friends in the media or slash the Boston media who have like a really big influence on this are gonna be like, oh, you didn't give him a fair shake right before AD came back and fucking it's stupid that the Lakers would even allow that shit to happen to them. Like, you know, like fucking like who gives a fuck what these guys think? Do what's best for the franchise. You know what I mean?
At least Jim fired everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had what, 3 coaches on the payroll at one time because they fired Mike Brown, fired Byron Scott, and fired
Luke.
I mean, Genie.
What a Luke. Was under, Luke.
Yeah. Duke was off under Genie.
It was D'Antoni, Mike Brown, and Byron.
There you go. So yeah. I mean, at least Jim would fire coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim didn't care. Like, if you weren't good enough, he'd get rid of you.
Yeah. Where's Jim?
Probably at a Republican meeting.
Yeah.
Probably at a Hooters. What was it?
QAnonymous.
He's
at a Hooters parking lot right now. Smoking a pack of cools. You know?
Isn't that where he met like a scout or something? What was that one story? Or am I misremembering?
To be fair though, that guy actually tried his best because it's sort of like a make-a-wish thing where it's like, oh shit, now I'm fucking working for the Lakers. Now I better like really like I'm gonna try my best. You know what? That kind of thing. He wasn't qualified.
He did try his best.
It was Chaz.
He did try his best. Credit to him there. Credit to him there. He did try his best.
It was just players couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
You guys remember when Gunnar Peterson was like our athletic trainer?
Oh my god.
We have completely devolved. I think it's the point to where
one thing I will say about 2013 to 2018 LA, I think people forgot just how good a general manager Mitch Kupchak was in that period, especially in the media. Because I don't know if you remember when he got the job in Charlotte, there was all this talk about how he wasn't going to succeed in Charlotte. I'm like, I don't know what you've watched, but Mitch Kupchak was an incredibly successful GM for 20 years. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Just shut up, right? So, shout out to Mitch Kupchak for doing well in Charlotte. I'm happy for him. They just need a center.
Yeah, like, I wish you didn't sign Mazen Deng, but all right.
Listen, everyone has mistakes.
I mean, that was all on Jim. We'll go ahead and put that on Jim, because why not?
We love Mitch.
Miles Turner would have been a really interesting one in Charlotte. I don't think Demonis.
I have been... a name for Charlotte, yes, that I've heard, but I'll tell you off camera.
Wonderful. No. All right. I think before we go down any more rabbit holes, we'll go ahead and end it. I think we've almost talked for almost 2 hours now. So I've ranted. I don't know how many times
the last podcast felt like 2 hours long.
So yeah,
so long. I got to go downstairs and get another drink. That's how long it's been.
All right, Nas. Everyone can find you at Opinions on the NBA. I still love your. I see people use that all the time. And they use it today for that fake trade that Alan and I are choosing to believe, because why the hell not?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Okay. Why the hell not?
If Clayton is okay with it, with a Colin Sexton trade, that's how you know it's
yes,
bad.
Yes.
So for everyone who's going to hear this pod around June, you know, which is when like Virgil have it ready.
Virgil have it done,
that is correct.
They're going to be listening to it while the Lakers have their parade. South Figueroa.
They're gonna be like, "What the fuck are these guys so mad about?"
South Bay Lakers.
Russell Westbrook finished the season with a 30-point triple double for the rest of the year. What are they talking about?
Let's not get over Vogel
won coach of the year. Austin Reeves won rookie of the year, guys. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, right. An opinion. Oh, or sometimes I hop on the Under the Bus pod account and shoot some shit with some fans. Whatever.
We need to do that. But yes, no, we appreciate that. Merge, everyone can find you at Merge 19.
And expect the Raj podcast to be up in a couple weeks. And then this one.
At this point, we just need to start a Patreon, and it's going to be exclusive content that we just never released. You know, like
I'll release my Shang-Chi episode on that one as well.
Yeah, exactly. In all seriousness, we're planning on trying to get Raj to come tomorrow after the Laker game. It'll probably just be us two and Raj, if anything. But yeah, I'll upload with them. Okay.
Alan's is too busy.
Yeah, Alan's too busy. And Nas will be.
I'm not letting
like five Mai Tais deep at that point.
So.
All right, and then Alan, everyone can find you at AlanRamich03. You guys can find him at Blipton. You can find him on the Direct Snap with Merge and I. You can find him at NBA Chats. I want to keep calling it the NBA Side Chats because of how it was the Lakers Side Chats. So. Bastard. But the NBA Chats, you can I feel like there's another podcast that I'm forgetting. Shut the fuck up. Anyways, and then you can find me at I don't remember. Lakers 1949. I was looking at creating another burners for my political ass hattery, because I love
fuck Boris Johnson. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah. I've seen that a lot from you. It's I'll wake up and there's just like a string, and I'm just like, something happened and Alan is mad.
Well, what I find amazing is, just final point before we sign off, guys, and as always, vaccinate and wash your legs. I find it amazing that in England it didn't take hundreds of thousands of people dying from COVID. It didn't take a record amount of homelessness. It didn't take a record amount of food banks in the UK instead of people being able to buy their own food. It took Christmas parties to get people to get pissed off. Don't you love that?
Yep. People, they've got the right thing, you know, in mind.
You couldn't go to a Christmas party, but they could. And that's what got you pissed off.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you all for listening. You'll probably listen to this sometime in July. Thank you.
Number 18 on the way, baby.
Yeah. All right. Bye, all. Have a great one. Rate, review, make fun of Merge. Bye.